The Heart of Grief is a program by certified grief recovery specialists Lori Penner and Brian McGee. Brian and Lori are not professional counselors. They do not offer therapy. If you are experiencing a crisis, please reach out to your local emergency or healthcare providers. What Lori and Brian offer in this podcast is an authentic, personal familiarity with the pain of loss and a straightforward approach to recovery that has proven transformative in the lives of thousands of grievers. As proud sponsors of the Grief Recovery Method programs, Barton Brothers Funeral Chapels in Lethbridge, Alberta, are pleased to partner with Brian and Lori to bring you this podcast. We hope our listeners will discover genuine, practical help and encouragement.
Welcome to episode 4 of The Heart of Grief. Today, Brian and I are going to be talking about why the idea that time will bring healing is not as helpful as we might believe. But before we get into this, we've got something special for our listeners, don't we, Brian?
Yes, we do.
So you've been out and about around town and have something you'd like to share with everyone.
Yes, recently I was in to see my neighborhood mechanic, and we had a little chat that relates to today's topic.
Ooh, sounds interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing this.
Okay, let's listen. Okay, so I am here with Ken Fast, owner-operator of Fast Tire Service. He's at 740 23rd Street North here in Lethbridge, Alberta. Ken's my mechanic and my tire guy. And so thanks for taking a few moments out of your very busy day, Ken, just to talk with me a little bit about tires.
No problem.
So my question is to do with tires when they go flat. And so when they go flat, how much time on average does it usually take before they reinflate themselves?
Well, they don't. They don't reinflate themselves, but, well, let's say 95% of them don't. There are the 5% that do, but they also have a system that helps them do that.
Oh, okay, so they don't just reinflate and you carry on.
Right.
So what has to happen then?
So you have to take the tire off. You got to find the leak, inflate it, find the leak, and then do the repair to keep the air in the tire.
Okay, so there's stuff you have to do.
Right.
So I'm guessing the biggest time factor is how busy you are and how long it takes to get to that particular job.
Right. It can take up to 20 minutes to 25 minutes.
Once you get started.
Yeah.
Okay, so what you're saying is there is time involved, but it's time used to actually do the work.
Right. There is, it takes time.
Takes time to do the work.
Right.
Well, that's good to know. Now, you mentioned that there are some that do somehow reinflate. How does that work?
Some of the military vehicles, they have an air compressor system on board, and that runs a line through each axle. And on a rotisserie that hooks up to the wheel, and it actually inflates the tire as you're driving it.
Okay, so that means that you don't really have to wait at all.
No, you don't.
But it's not just the time. It's the mechanical pressure, air pressure system that's part of the vehicle that's actually doing the work.
Correct.
So either way, it's not just waiting for time to fix it. It's what's happening mechanically or your labor during that time.
Right. That's right.
Well, thanks, Ken, so much for taking time out of you. I know you're very busy today, and you've got to get after some tires here, some new ones.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.
So you really aren't that uneducated about tires, are you?
Well, no. Actually, as a teenager, I worked at a few garages and repaired or replaced a lot of tires. I know they don't just reinflate on their own. Except that is for those special application military vehicle tires that Ken spoke about, and that was a very cool educational moment for me. But Lori, we disclosed in our episode 0 that we'd likely include some humor in our program. The interview with Ken, although real, was intended to provide some levity.
Absolutely. The Heart of Grief podcast is about a serious topic, As we all know, loss hurts, and the lingering pain of loss is not funny. It is our promise to you that we take the pain each and every one of you is feeling very seriously. However, we try not to take ourselves too serious. We've noticed with people who've gone through our programs that even in the midst of very sad circumstances, there can be some welcome relief and healthy perspective gained through a little bit of humor.
Yes, and our intention here is not to dabble in humor therapy, which, by the way, is a thing, but simply to provide a lighthearted way of bringing some focus to this episode's topic.
Yes, for sure. So as you mentioned earlier, this is number 4 of our top 6 most unhelpful ideas list, but quite possibly the one most heard by grievers. Just give it time, or time heals all wounds.
Right, and it's our task in this Grief Myths mini-series to debunk that idea. But how come, Lori? It seems that you and I are going against the cultural flow with this.
It sure does seem like that, because we are. I want to go back to your interview with Ken and your flat tire conversation. What we learned is that time alone will not result in a reinflated tire. And of course, our listeners know this as well. Time, though, does provide an opportunity for the actions of the tire repair to happen. Knowing how to fix a tire and having the time to apply those repair skills are effective in fixing the problem.
Mm-hmm. So we need to apply the time plus correct actions idea to the experience of grief. But that's not what the common saying suggests, Lori. Why do we hear so much that time heals? Are there beneficial things that do happen naturally with time?
Yes, there are some benefits, sort of. With time, or some time, the brain fog that also happens in the initial hours and days following a significant loss begin to lift. Our list of questions we may have may start to get answered. The to-do list starts to get checked off. The rush of people and visitors slows, and decisions that must be made is lightened. We begin to think through the implications of our loss and consider what adjustments we will make. The necessities of continued life draw us back into active living, of course, in a way that can look really different from before. There are also things that readjust without us really knowing even how it happened. There's the normalization of schedules and routine that seem to happen in a somewhat ordered, yet crazy, chaotic way. Of course, this doesn't happen equally for everyone. Some people experience lingering pain and disruption to their lives. The things I've mentioned are not the work of time alone. There are other things happening, actions that are being taken, and we are doing things.
Okay, so why don't you and I just settle on making that clarification to explain the fuller meaning of the phrase that time heals? Why do we dispute the idea itself altogether?
We dispute the helpfulness of time healing because, first, it encourages grievers to settle for the things that tend to happen rather normally and naturally. And second, there are some vital things that are not included in those naturally occurring effects. Waiting for these to happen will result in the prolonged pain that comes from what we call unresolved grief. I like this reflection from Rose Kennedy Fitzgerald, mother of U.S. President John F. Kennedy. She says, "It has been said time heals all wounds. I do not agree. The wounds remain. In time, the mind, protecting its sanity, covers them with scar tissue and the pain lessens. But it's never gone."
I agree with that to a point. What we contend is that there are ways of attending to the pain of those scars. And so we need to identify what those pain-causing things are. The things that do not find healing normally or naturally with the passing of time. I'd like to suggest the following statement for our something to think about for this episode. The passage of time does not provide us with any healing for the things that happen where memories and feelings collide. And I'd like to give a personal illustration of this. When my father died, he was in the hospital for what was supposed to be a minor exploratory type of operation. At the time, we lived over 800 kilometers from each other. He was not critically ill. Before that operation could take place, however, and before I could visit him, he died suddenly from a blood clot. Following his death, whenever I would remember this, I felt unfinished with the things I would have said to him, but couldn't say. The passage of time does not provide healing for that pain.
Thanks for sharing that, Brian. It's those things that are so hard to figure out what to do with. We know through our work that those things usually fit into two categories. First, they are the things we wish would have been different, better, or more in a relationship. And in the second group are those unfulfilled hopes and dreams and expectations that we now carry as a result of the bereavement or some other loss. So if time isn't a healer for these things, what is?
Well, we are going to come back to a discussion of those painful memory triggers in future episodes. But for now, what we want to emphasize is what we learned from my interview with Ken Fast. It is specific, correct actions taken in time that get the desired results. I came across what I think is a good explanation of this from licensed clinical social worker David Fireman in answer to a question on the website griefcounselor.org. He writes, "Time is not a healer. The passage of time may take the edge off of acute pain, but it does not heal pain. On the other hand, time can be used well for healing purposes. When time is used well, in terms of healing wounds, then it is because we do something specific with and within it. We take time and shape it in order to do inner work. It is inner work coupled with courage and honesty that heals." As David rightly points out, it's inner work, or what you and I call heart work, that is key to identifying and bringing healing to the painful scars of loss. This is the work that you and I and all certified specialists using the grief recovery method guide people through in our programs. And now, Lori, I'm going to leave you to offer our something to do for this episode.
Although we explain essential principles, we can't guide people through the steps to recovery in this format. So what I want to offer is a three-part call to action. Number one, give yourself permission to stop looking for time to heal the lingering pains of loss. Two, acknowledge that the pain you are carrying has not been greatly helped by time. It may have been tucked away or hidden under some sort of emotional scar, but when you think about it, you sure know it's there. And number three, reach out to us or the Grief Recovery Institute. We would be delighted to explain to you how you can access our programs. Next episode, we will be moving on to number five in our most unhelpful ideas list, be strong or be strong for others. It sounds like a noble goal. We'll explain why it's really not a helpful idea for grievers. Until next time, thank you for tuning in.
As mentioned, we love to receive comments and questions from our listeners. We invite emails to feedback@theheartofgrief.com.
If you'd like to send us paper mail, it can go to The Heart of Grief, care of 610 4th Street South, Lethbridge, Alberta, Canada, T1J4P3.
And of course, you can subscribe through your podcast service provider.